Mastering Challenges and Overcoming Obstacles with Daniel Bull. Welcome to Mastering Life. I'm your host, Olivia Gordon, journalist and news presenter, and now a lifestyle podcaster. Each lesson, you'll be guided by an inspiring and successful person who has mastered a skill or area of their life. They're here to share their wisdom with you, their tips, tricks, and rituals to help you take your life to the next level. Thanks for spending time with me today. Now get ready to master your life. You're about to hear from someone who is pretty incredible at what he has achieved. He is a newly crowned Guinness World Record holder, the first Australian and the youngest person on the planet to climb the highest mountain and the highest volcano on every continent. That's 7 summits and 7 volcanic summits, 13 all up. Crazy. Daniel Bull has officially made it into the 2019 edition of the Guinness World Record book. I've just been through my copy of it, and there are some next level people who are taking on challenges like we've never seen before. These people are pushing past their fears, mastering a skill, a strength, or one thing to get them to where they want to be. And Daniel is one of those many extraordinary people. In this interview, we talk about facing off with extreme challenges and overcoming adversity. He shares his experience summiting some of the toughest terrains on Earth. We only just scratched the surface of what he's experienced on many of his expeditions, from Mount Everest to Mount Sidley, some of those going alone, facing situations where he didn't think he was going to make it out alive. We talk about how important preparation is when it comes to taking on big tasks. We talk about the power of the mind. You'll love this episode if you're looking for some inspiration from someone who has taken on some of the biggest challenges on Earth. This is for you if you want to hear some techniques Daniel uses to finish what he started. And this is someone speaking from experience. He's the embodiment of doing what you say you will do, over and over again, under extremely challenging physical and mental pressure. By conquering the highest peaks on the earth, he realized anyone can achieve anything if they just set their mind to it. If this resonates with you, have a listen, head on over to iTunes, leave us a review. I hope this inspires you to take action on your dreams. If you want to know more about what Daniel is getting up to, head on over to the show notes. You'll find the links to his website, unstoppable.com. Without further ado, let's get this incredible lesson underway, Mastering Challenges and Overcoming Obstacles with Daniel Bull. I think it's absolutely incredible, and I am really excited to be able to share it with other people because I think they'll be quite inspired by what you've done. I mean, the first Australian to climb the highest mountain and highest volcano on every continent, and the youngest person on the planet to achieve it as well. That's insane. I just want to know, why did you decide to do it?
Well, that's actually a really good question. I do ask myself that sometimes. I know that Everest was the original goal. I remember sitting at home when I was probably at primary school watching the TV. I saw some black and white footage of Everest, and it really it was really intense and quite overwhelming, and it scared me. But for some reason, that seemed like it would be a worthwhile challenge to aspire to. So I kind of had that locked in the back of my mind for quite a few years until I actually decided to, you know, start taking action. So I started with a bit of rock climbing, you know, just learning the basic techniques, then moved into ice climbing, and then eventually headed to the Himalayas to actually tackle some big mountains, and just took it from there.
Yeah, wow. So, I mean, literally facing off with some massive challenges and adversities, and that's exactly what I want to talk to you about today. So thank you once again so much for coming onto the show.
Pleasure.
You've taken on these challenges. Your last climb, I also read that your 99-year-old grandma and your dad, who had just had a hip replacement, also did the climb with you?
Yes. Yeah. So that was a highlight for sure. So I thought I'd save our home summit, you know, the highest mountain in Australia, Kosciuszko, for last, as you said, joined by my 99-year young nan. So I actually don't think of her age in that way. She's always been very energetic, has a very can-do attitude. And it was actually her birthday weekend. And I just kind of gave her a ring and said, man, this is what my plans are for the weekend. I don't know if you've got anything special planned, but if you'd like to join, could be a cool way to mark the milestone.
No way.
And she was like, she just said yes without questioning it. So I got some extra gear and we're headed up to Cozzy. So, and in fact, my whole family and friends are a huge motivation for me and have supported me every step of the way. So whilst it's not always possible for them to join overseas, it was pretty special to be able to do that one together. So, and I think my younger sister who joined as well was sick at the time, pretty much lying in the back of the car, not feeling too great on the road trip up. But yeah, she basically said she wouldn't miss it. So celebrated with champagne on the summit. So,
oh my God, that's
certainly
so cool.
A nice way to cap it off.
That's incredible. Has your family done anything like it before, or was that the first time for them climbing, a mountain?
Definitely. Both my parents are adventurous, and I think they kind of instilled that sense of adventure in me and my siblings when we were young. Possibly a good example to highlight that was we're all young teens. It was Christmas morning. We're excited to open our presents and, probably expecting more tangible gifts. But it turned out that we were being given tickets on the Spirit of Tassie to head south to Tasmania. And the gift was, in essence, an adventure trek to the Overland Trail, which is Cradle Mountain to Lake St. Clair. So we were kind of a little bit cautious. It's like, okay, what's going on here? They're sending us away for like 10 days. Are they really just wanting some time to themselves? What's in this?
They're getting rid of us.
but the boat trip over was pretty cool. We enjoyed that, being on our own. Again, early teens, so first kind of big independent trip by ourselves. But then once we actually started the trek, we were carrying some pretty heavy packs for us at the time. All the food you're going to need to eat for 8 to 10 days, as well as tent, sleeping, camping equipment, pots and pans. So it was a fair bit. And I think all of us shared the same sentiment for at least the first few days, that we were adamant they were basically just trying to get rid of us. just kind of send us off into the wilderness, never to see us again. So, we were cursing a fair bit those first few days. Mm. But in the end, it turned out to be an epic adventure. And particularly as I look back at it now, I realize that even though things may be hard or you don't quite see the value in it as you start off the journey, I definitely learned a lot of lessons from one being that I just love, love nature and love being outdoors. Sharing those kinds of adventures definitely brings you together, bonds you as well. So I think it was great for me and my sisters.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned before, just talking on experiences, are you familiar with Jesse Itzler?
Tell me more about Jesse.
He's got a challenge coming up, taking on Mount Everest. You'll have to look him up, because I reckon you'd probably really click with what he gets up to. But he's a big believer in building your life resume rather than your work resume. So having out of these world experiences to share with others. His message is around believing that people can be transformed through extreme physical experiences. I mean, having literally embodied that yourself, what transformations have you seen?
Yeah, well, just to touch on, building your work resume versus your life resume. In fact, that was, for me, that was a big early challenge. You go to school, you study, you've got to pick these subjects early on and expected to know what you want to do for the rest of your life. And actually, when I was deciding what I wanted to study at uni, I actually had no idea. It's quite difficult. I just knew that I had to find something that would lead to a high-paying job or career to basically fund my own climbing ambitions and plans to travel the world. And so I took my dad's advice to study business and accounting. And then I added computer science to the mix, thinking that would be of value moving forward. So I basically did a double degree to broaden my opportunities, and thankfully landed a graduate position that straight out of uni with a global consulting firm. And they kind of sent me overseas. I think sometimes it's not always a direct path, but you kind of need to think laterally. And that helped broaden my horizons and enabled me to then pursue my climbing ambitions overseas. And in terms of the transformations, I think Everest is probably a good one. That was my original goal. And whilst most of my climbing I've probably done since Everest, it was achieving that. And, you know, it had been many years leading up to that. And I guess not just wanting to climb Everest, I wanted to do it as independently as possible, i.e. without Western guides, carrying all our own loads and packs up to the various camps. And so in preparing for that, I started to climb a number of the other highest mountains around the world. But then, yeah, finally getting to Everest and standing on the top of the world was pretty epic, and I had this feeling of exhilaration and satisfaction. But beyond that, I guess it made me realize, wow, I actually really can do anything if I set my mind to it.
Yeah.
And if I can reach the top of the world, you know, I can do anything really, not just in climbing, but in other aspects of my life as well. Just giving me that confidence.
Yeah. And you just mentioned about if you set your mind to it. I mean, it's a massive physical challenge what you've taken on and what you've completed. But like, talk to me about the mental challenge. You've seen firsthand the power of the mind under extreme circumstances. How do you even prepare for something like this?
Yeah. I think particularly growing up, you know, here in Australia and at sea level, it's pretty difficult to prepare. And so I guess I've definitely focused on the physical aspect. Maybe we can come back to that and in terms of the training regime and things like that. But mentality is definitely a big element. So probably on every expedition I've undertaken, I've felt like giving up at some point in time, no matter how well prepared I was.
Yeah.
Particularly at high altitude, you're often dealing with a lot of pain and discomfort for prolonged periods of time. So an Everest expedition can last up to a couple of months. You know, feeling constant headaches and nausea, having to fight just to kind of keep your energy levels up and to eat. When you don't feel like doing it, drinking about 5 litres a day. But yeah, I learned that I can keep going long after my brain tells my body to stop. And so I know that if I can do that, you know, I truly believe that we can all push past our perceived physical limits and just kind of push forward. So I think a lot of that comes back to setting your mind to a certain outcome or goal and then just committing to that.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the next thing I wanted to say, you did mention that there was kind of like a constant battle going on in your head. Was there ever a time on any of the hikes where you were like, nah, I've had enough, I'm turning back, and you turned back but then decided to keep going?
I honestly think on every expedition I felt like giving up at some point. But yeah, I've definitely focused on the reason I was there, and often as well, because your body is screaming at you to turn back, it's kind of hard to understand why you're doing it at that point in time, and accepting that it would be so easy just to turn back and possibly the sane and safe thing to do. But what I find useful is to think back to the me that was at sea level that made a seemingly sane and logical decision that this would be a worthwhile thing to pursue, and trust that guy. Because if I listened to myself at that point in time, I probably would turn back.
Yeah.
So I say, no, we've made this decision that we want to reach the summit. Let's keep going. So I find that really useful. And when that's insufficient, so actually recently climbing the highest volcano in the world in South America, my guide had actually turned back. And so I was expecting to be climbing with a local that had local knowledge. So I'd made the mistake of not doing really comprehensive research on the route to the summit and the conditions. Given the fact that he'd turned back, I kept going. There was this doubt of, am I actually headed in the right way? And that was creeping into my mind. And also just physically, it was really difficult. So you're talking about almost 7,000 meters. There's a lot of lot less oxygen in the air at that height. So my body was pretty much screaming at me to turn back. And yeah, at that point, it was actually nothing really logical that I could do or think to keep pushing. But my family came into my mind at that point, and just them knowing, wanting to do them proud, I think spurred me on. Where otherwise, if it was just me thinking, do I really want to reach the top of this mountain or not, I probably would have turned back.
I love what you said before about how you thought back to the decision you made when you were on sea level in that, you know, that straight mind. It's almost like thinking back to the reason why you were doing this in the first place. It's just kind of something that anyone can apply to any area of their life. I mean, pushing through the pain, the challenge, whatever it is, because you never know what's going to be on the other side of that. And for you, it was a Guinness World Record and amazing accomplishment. Do you think that that particular experience where the local guide actually left you, was that one of the toughest climbs you had?
It was. And it was actually one where I honestly thought that I may not make it back alive, which is kind of scary to comprehend. But there have been other touch and go situations. I know that looking back a bit further to Everest, which my Everest ascent was in 2008. So this is my decade celebration of 10-year anniversary of climbing Everest.
Wow.
But it could have been very different. I remember the exhilaration of reaching the summit, this feeling of success and triumph, and actually getting quite emotional. This the steps leading up to the summit, because there is such this constant doubt in the back of your mind, not just whether you'll be up to the challenge, but you know there's so many obstacles along the way and objective risks that you can't control. And so when I knew that dream was finally going to be realized, it was quite an epic moment. But that was very quickly replaced on the summit by this feeling of dread at the knowledge that I was only halfway. So it's no good reaching the summit if you don't make it back down alive. So I knew that I had possibly the hardest and most dangerous part of the trip remaining, which is the descent. I knew that the statistics showed that most of the accidents and deaths occur on the way down. So
people just get, you know, they're just exhausted and they're just...
Yeah, I think to actually reach such a point, you need to really push well beyond your physical reserves. And so you've really relied on that mental focus and that motivation, which is to reach the summit. And now all of a sudden that's dissipated, that's gone. You know, you've achieved that goal and you've also used all your physical reserves. So you really have nothing left. And the lack of oxygen is kind of really kicking in and you're kind of hallucinating and your body is literally dying with each breath. And so I was descending alone at this point. And there's a point where I just felt so exhausted. I thought, you know what, I'm going to sit down and have a break. But in doing so, I knew that people had done that before and had never got up again. You know, just the energy to stand up is quite overwhelming. So nonetheless, I thought, bugger it, I'm going to sit down. And I did do that on this kind of 45-degree angle, so relatively gentle, icy slope. I sat down and it felt pretty good. And actually out of the corner of my eye, just looked over to the left and I could see someone else sitting next to me.
Oh, wow.
Which was comforting. Mm. Just the knowledge that there was someone else with me, even though you couldn't really help each other. There was that comfort from that company.
Yeah.
But I did a double take and looked a bit closer and actually realized that, well, there was someone sitting there in the exact same position as me, but they'd probably been there for a few years and they recovered in a layer of ice so basically seeing that body possibly saved my life, because that kind of hit home and shook me to my feet, and from there pretty much barreled down the mountain. So that was a close call. So
did that make you just get up and just keep going?
Exactly, yeah. So that got me to my feet, whereas I was otherwise quite content where I was. And you know, could have, scarily to think back to it, could have just stayed in that position forever. So that got me to my feet. And then I think then I had that extra sense of urgency that, you know, that your journey's not yet complete. You've still got a long way to go, even though it's going to hurt, got to do it. And just kind of pretty precarious, but let gravity do a bit of the work for me. And so, you know, there was a bit of stumbling and whatnot, but I relied as well on all the years of training and preparation and the right techniques to try and save a bit of energy. So thankfully got back down to high camp, which is still in the death zone, had a bit of a rest there, and then continued all the way down to the relative safety of camp two, and actually reached camp two on my dad's birthday. So at that point I was able to get the satellite phone out and, you know, give him a call, let him know of my success and survival, and wish him a happy birthday at the same time. So That was pretty cool.
How is that for timing? Wow.
Yeah.
How did you get past that, you know, mentally? Obviously, coming across someone who like you said, had been there for clearly a few years. What does that do to you when that happens, like in that very moment? And then to actually continue to go down the mountain with that in mind?
I think, there wasn't too much thought about it. It was more an instant realization. And so kind of, you know, a lot of the time we're told to be in the moment and in the present, and you know, a lot of the time that makes sense. But in this case, if I had have just been in the moment and enjoyed it, it wouldn't have ended up too well. So it was really just putting it into perspective and kind of seeing the big picture and the outcome. And, you know, again, I was definitely, whilst I know sacrifice has played a big part of this, and I think actually going into Everest, I kind of accepted that, look, if I came away with some kind of like a missing toe or a finger, you know, if I'd lost something to frostbite, it would still be worth it. Definitely, I'd never intended to die on the mountain. And whilst that is unfortunately a reality, and I'd thought of that and planned for it where possible, you know, I didn't have plans on that happening to me in that case.
You said you planned for these kind of situations should they arise, because like you said, it is reality for some people that do take on these challenges. What are some methods that you use to get past your fears, or to, I guess, when you're dealing with an extreme situation like that, you know, overcome it? Things that people listening can start to implement in their life?
Yeah, well, I guess for me, preparation is key. And I believe that's an area that I really excel at. By considering all the possible scenarios and how I'll approach each one, or at least be equipped to tackle the different obstacles that, you know, may pop up along the way. And so that's really beforehand. But then for me, that also extends to when I'm actually on the mountain as well. So the night before a summit push, which is the culmination of everything you've been working towards, and possibly the moment you're putting yourself, you know, at the greatest risk, I'll have every single item, every single bit of equipment, I'll have placed ahead of time in the right jacket pocket, in the, you know, in a certain area of my backpack, so I know that I'll be able to just grab it if needed without really thinking. And I think also to the point where I've been known to cut off the tags from a jacket or clothing just to reduce the weight just a little bit more, and to avoid any kind of interference. So I think preparation is key. And for me, has been, I've been, you know, on mountains, particularly some of the more popular peaks like Everest, where you see that firsthand being beneficial. Maybe those that have the dream, but they haven't really had the forethought or put in their, you know, due preparation. And they're kind of not, you can see they're not really using their equipment in the right way, or, you know, I've left a vital piece of equipment at base camp or something like that. And another way I prepare is by consulting experts in the relevant fields I'm interested in pursuing. So obviously for mountaineering, and for example, before heading to Everest or Antarctica, which are both some of your more extreme locations and peaks, I've sought out people who have actually been there and done that successfully themselves. So for me, wherever possible, I'd prefer to learn from others' mistakes rather than make them myself. Now that becomes a bit tricky when you want to do something that no one else has done before, or do something where you can't, you know, reach out to an expert. But yeah, that's where I've been able to rely on my own experience that I've built up over the years. But yeah, definitely trying to track down someone that has some knowledge or experience is a great starting point.
Have you had many people now come to you after, you know, successfully climbing, 13 summits all up in total? Have you had many people coming to you for advice now?
A few, yeah. Yeah, there's, and I've actually invited a few people along on future expeditions. But oddly, somehow there always seems to be an excuse, particularly if I reach out to friends or family. So, hey, do you want to join me on my next quest? There's always an initial motivation, but then things seem to kind of get in the way. So
they go silent.
Well, people either have enough time, not enough money, or vice versa. or I think in one case, one guy was very motivated, but his wife said that, look, she just thought it was a little bit too dangerous, and she wasn't giving him the okay. So,
it's interesting.
I've heard a few interesting ones, yeah.
That ties into what we were speaking about before, about it's one thing saying that you're going to do something, it's another thing actually doing it. And what it seems like for you, you've been pretty successful at actually embodying what it is that you're set out to do, which I think is an incredible thing for anyone to aspire to. When it comes to success, they say that the five closest to you influence you greatly. Do you believe in that? Do you believe in the importance of being mindful of the people you surround yourself with, and have they helped you along the way?
Wow, okay. I haven't actually heard that one before in terms of the five closest. But no, I don't fully embrace that. Maybe I've just been lucky in terms of just naturally have very wise parents, and again, who have been adventurous themselves, maybe in different areas or to different degrees, but have kind of led by example. And I think you don't need to be kind of that immediately close to people for things to rub off. So like I said, I'll always pursue insight or knowledge, or you know, watch a TED talk or YouTube or Google people that I come across, or so I think that's part of the research of deciding you want to do something and then starting to try and find out and discover and absorb as much as you possibly can, and then look to those, you know, those role models in those fields. Yeah, that hasn't been directly applicable to me, but I think there's other ways around that. And you know, they say you can't choose your family, so I guess I've just been lucky with those that I do have around me.
Definitely. And so what's next for you?
Well, I mean, there's always another mountain to climb, but actually I've decided, because growing up at sea level, I love water, and I've really achieved all I set out to achieve in the mountaineering world, but I love the idea of combining my passion for high altitude with my love of water. And so actually on my expedition to reach the top of the highest volcano in the world, which is in South America on the Chilean-Argentinian border, I actually spotted what's now been verified as the highest lake in the world. So that's about 6,500 meters. It's frozen most of the year.
Oh my God.
And I actually already attempted to reach that lake earlier this year with the ambition of breaking a new world record, which is the highest swim in history. So the idea was to reach the lake and then jump in and have a swim. So unfortunately, things don't always work out. This was a classic example. So whilst I'd reached the lake, it actually turned out to be frozen solid, and a storm that had passed through just before we arrived had covered in a couple of meters of snow. So it was not to be, but I'm considering whether I head back and have another crack.
Yeah, why not? Why not? That would be incredible. Jesus.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out, have a look at it on online. I've just got some final questions now, and they are just about the podcast itself. And this is something that I'm asking all of the guests on the podcast.
Okay.
Now, the first one is, what's your definition of mastery?
I'd say preparation would be key.
Yeah.
And then, that's a tough one. To be honest, I don't feel like I've really mastered anything, except potentially that I'm beginning to master myself. So similar to Sir Edmund Hillary's quote on Everest, the first man to reach the summit of Everest along with Tenzing Norgay Sherpa, he says that we don't conquer the mountain, we conquer ourselves. And so maybe transferring that to mastering ourselves. So I think each goal I set and achieve, I'm learning a bit more about myself and my own limitations and possibilities. And so I think I'd say it's a mindset rather than an endpoint.
Yeah.
You know, so I think I'm satisfied with what I've achieved, what I've been able to set my mind to and achieve, but, you know, I'm always thinking of the next thing. And so I'd say that probably the biggest thing I've learned is having the mindset of pursuing or the desire to master something or yourself.
Yeah, mastering the mind, that's like the ultimate thing that you could go for.
That's it. That's all we can really control.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. And the fact that we actually can control it is crazy for some people to even comprehend, but with enough...
I think for me too, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It
I
is
I think
something.
Over time I've started to realize, hey, wait a second, I can do this. I can, you know, I can really delve deep and visualize and I can do it. And even to the point where, like I just mentioned, you could consider my previous expedition, you know, a failure in terms of I never got the opportunity to actually jump in that lake and achieve the swimming record. Having the mindset, well, you've learned something new, you now know how to reach the lake, you know it's going to be cold, and now I can go away and prepare a bit better and come back in a better, more well-prepared state.
Yeah, it's like changing the way that you look at a situation. Is that some advice that you'd give to anyone listening that's dealing with a difficult situation, whether it be, you know, taking on a challenge and they feel that they haven't, you know, completed it?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say so, yeah. I think, again, it's maybe, you know, whilst we may set our mind to a particular outcome, I think it's just deciding to take away anything that you can from that journey and that experience. If you accept that we're always learning, which I think is the case, then... You know, no pursuit is really a true failure.
That's so true.
And just to, you know, just to persist.
Just the last thing that I wanted to speak about was you're looking at doing some speaking engagements in the future, or you are doing them currently?
I am, yeah. I've decided that the next challenge is to share some of the stories and experiences I've had. So I'm doing that with school groups, with corporates, pretty much with anyone that's interested to get some first-hand insight.
Well, I'm sure you'll have plenty of people taking you up on that offer. This conversation has been incredible. Thank you so much for speaking to me today.
Thank you, Olivia.
If you enjoyed this as much as I did, I would love to hear from you. Take a screenshot, head on over to Instagram right now, post it and tag me in it. Share it out with your friends. If you know someone who is saying they want to do something, but they're not quite taking action, or they're facing some challenges that are stopping them from doing so, this might just help give them a little bit of a nudge. I hope Daniel's commitment and dedication to becoming a Guinness World Record holder inspires you to get out there and tackle your own challenges, no matter how much your body and mind is screaming at you to stop. Again, a massive thank you to Daniel for sharing his experiences with all of us today. If you'd like to find out more about what he does, head on over to those show notes for a link to his website and social media pages. If you loved this episode, please hit subscribe. I have a lineup of incredible humans ready to share their best advice with you. It's all for you guys. This content is created to help you grow your confidence, to encourage you to take that next step, to remind you that you are worthy and that you are enough. I understand the value of time, so I thank you, thank you, thank you for making the choice to be here listening to these wonderful stories. You are in charge of mastering your life, and I am here to provide the tools that will help you along the way.